by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus for this opportunity now to hear your word. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth so that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say to each one of us. And then God, as you reveal the principles, give us power to practice them so that you might receive all the praise, the glory, and the honor, and we your people, the prophet. Now Lord, once again, have thine own way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise. God bless you, choir. Thank you so much for that encouraging song. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. We shall launch our message from this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And this message today is a message of encouragement as well. And it's talking about trusting in God's word. Trusting in God's word by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. For an inheritance. The word says, obeyed. And went out, not knowing whither he went. This is all about trusting in God's word, especially when you understand the story as recorded in the 12th chapter of Genesis. You'll see in verse 1 it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and get thee into a land which I shall show thee. And then verse 2 and 3 list some blessings if he's obedient. It says, one, I will make of thee a great nation. Two, I will bless thee. Three, I will make thy name great. Four, thou shalt be a blessing. Five, I shall bless those who bless you. Six, I will curse those who curse you. And seven, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4 says, so Abram departed. In other words, after hearing what God required of him and then what God would do for him, he didn't delay, he made haste and moved upon the word of God. Now, what is most interesting about this is the fact that when Abram gets this word, he's 75 years old. He's settled, he's at peace and rest, if you will, at this age and stage in his life, but yet there is a deeper calling that he is experiencing in hearing and heeding God. One of the things that I think is so important about understanding this text is the fact that Abram at this time was a heathen who lived among heathens and who served pagan gods. But that was something deeper on the inside of him that desired something greater than him. He knew that there was a greater God than the gods of his land and those that his folk served, but he did not know until God called him. In this verse, there are three things that I'd like us to focus on. The first one is the call. The Bible says, when Abraham was called to go out. First thing about call is that you need to realize that there must be one, contact, two, connection, and three, communication. And all three of these things happened in the call. First of all, God contacted him. He didn't know how to contact God. Remember, he was not a believer. He was not a Christian. He was a heathen in a paganistic country. The only way he could receive the call is by answering the call. And so God calls him and he answers the call, and that connects them two together. And then God begins to communicate with him what he wants. May I say to you, when you're looking for something different, when you're looking for something deeper, when you're looking for something richer, everlasting, that God hears and senses your cry and your call. And if you don't know how to contact him, he knows how to contact you. And so in this call, he communicates to Abraham. He said, listen, I want you to leave your country. 75 years old. I want you to leave your kindred. And I want you to leave your father's house. Now, remember the word said he was called to go out. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are times when God just won't bless you when you're in the wrong place, with the wrong people, at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing. That's just too much wrong for his righteousness. And so he had to reposition Abraham to a better place. Why is this important to understand? Because one of the things you will also recognize is because God was a righteous God speaking to an unrighteous man, he wanted to positionally make him righteous. The only way that he could do this is that Abraham would believe God by faith. His righteousness came by faith. So does our righteousness come by faith. And so he told him, listen, before I can bless you, you've got to make some changes. Why is it necessary to make changes? Because sometimes God won't bless you because of your affiliation and your association. Listen to what he tells him. Get away from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house. This has to do with affiliations and associations. You see, sometimes some places are not conducive for worship. Some places are not conducive for doing right. Some places are not relative to you being enriched in the things of God. And sometimes you've got to come out of the places that won't allow you to grow and develop like God would have you to. And so he tells him, I can't bless you, won't bless you where you are because of your affiliations and your associations. But there's another reason he won't bless him there. It's also because of his altitude. You see, sometimes God won't bless you because you're too big-headed. You're too high-minded. You're too self-absorbed. And you're around people who egg you on. Sometimes you're a big fish in a little pond, and there are people around you who support this ideology, and God cannot reach you and minister to you in a place where there is false illusions and there are illusions of grandeur that don't add up to the word of God. And then there are times when your altitude is too low, God has to lift you. You have low self-esteem, low drive, low thrives among low lives. Y'all catch that on your way home. And they don't want to do no better, don't want you to do no better. They try to hold you back and hold you down because they don't want you to get ahead of them. And then lastly, I need to tell you that sometimes he won't bless you where you are because of your attitude. Be it positive or negative. If it's positive, sometimes even though your attitude is positive, the people around you attitude is negative. The people around you are the ones who are dream killers. They're the ones who tell you when you say, I can do, they say, no, you can't do. I knew some people who tried it and they didn't make it and they were better than you. And they begin to change. Your attitude is not a can-do person, but a can't-do person. They water down your ability. And your attitude changes because of the influence of attitudes around you. And sometimes your attitude can be so negative. Because again, you are around people with negative attitudes. That you won't receive what God is trying to say to you, what God is trying to give to you, how God is trying to grow you, because your attitude is wrong. So he says, get thee out. And Abraham was called to go out into a place that he would inherit, listen, after he left. Amen. Not before he left. See, there are some things God just won't do until after you do right. Until after you yield to his will, after you've done what he's asked you to do. That just some things God won't do until after. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, the word then can be translated as after. Will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Some things just won't happen till afterwards. Until you do your part. So many times people are saying, well, I've been waiting on God for a long time. And God says, no, you have not been waiting on me for a long time. I've been waiting for you to do your part for a long time. And so this is a walk of willingness in faith. And you see, one of the things that I love about this word is that you can't say you are too old to do what God tells you to do. Life has passed you by and you can't do what you used to do. But maybe that's why God wants to move you from the place that you're in. To do what God wants you to do now, finally, that he's got your attention. Listen at what the word goes on to say. It says he obeyed. Another word for obedience is commitment. Listen, he walked in this reality by faith and committed himself to obeying God. What does it take to commit yourself? I'm glad you asked. One, to count up the cost. Talking about folk who want to commit to trusting in God's word. Amen. Count up the cost. Why is it important to count up the cost? Because you're going to recognize that for God's best, it requires your best. And nothing, the songwriter said, from nothing leaves nothing. Now, if he said you got to have something if you want to be with me, how about God? God requires of you something. If he is going to bless you the way that he desires to bless you, then it means it requires something from you. And commitment is what it requires to be obedient. Don't fool yourself. Don't get it twisted. You can't act any way, talk any way, walk any way, live any way, and think you're going to get the best blessings of God. It doesn't work that way. Look at what the word is clear about. He obeyed. He obeyed. All of the blessings of the Lord were not going to come into his life until he obeyed. God made him some promises, but the promises were based upon his obedience. Do you not think Abraham counted up the cost at 75 years old? Listen, one of the reasons why God had to make clear, I'm talking to you, Abram, and not to everybody around you, was because when he told everybody around him that God spoke to him and told him to get away from all of them because he had some blessings for them, him that he couldn't bless them with, him with, around them, do you not think they were going to try and discourage him? Do you not think when he would reveal that he had to do, God spoke to him, was not going to happen for him until he obeyed him? Amen. That beginning with his father, his kinfolk and friends, and even the people of his country would have kept Abraham from obeying. But he counted up the cost. And let me throw this out parenthetically, that sometimes the way God wants to bless you may not be the way he wants to bless the person on the side of you. You got to hear for yourself and understand for yourself what God wants to do for you. And he obeyed. One, he counted up the cost. But that's not all it takes to be committed. Second thing is, you've got to continue through crises. See, commitment means that you've got to continue through crisis. Do you not know that you can't make it from earth to glory without some crisis? Without some troubles, without some trials, without some tribulations, without some incidents, some accidents, some situations. But you've got to continue through crises. God never promised that you wouldn't have trouble. No. God didn't say you wouldn't be up sometime and down sometime. God never said that every day would be an easy day. But here's what the word of God says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. The good and the bad work together. The up and the down work together. The tears and the joy work together. The sunshine and the rain works together. The night and the day works together for our good. And then thirdly, you have to realize that you must complete your course. Your course. Not the course, but your course. Why it's important to understand, because God has given you a specific path and a specific course to run. Amen. It may not be the length of everybody else's course. It may not be the same path that everyone else has to take, but he has customized your course. Amen. And you got to realize that you are responsible for running your own course. God makes it clear that he's given you everything you need for the journey. Everything sufficient for the journey. And when it gets rough and when it gets tough, you need to know God would not put more on you than you can bear. And whatever you're going through, he put it there because you can make it, you can take it, and in the end, you win if you stay the course. But a whole lot of people give up the course before it's completed. They give up their part because it looks too hard, or they look at somebody else's course and their course looks easier than yours. Maybe they're not going to the same place you're going. Maybe they've not been promised what you've been promised. Maybe they've not been given the strength that you've been given. Maybe their task, their assignment, their anointing is not the same as yours. And so you have got to complete your course. But there's something else I do need you to see in this word also. And it says, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, if nothing else tells you that's faith, that tells you right there. Abram, where you going? Well, God spoke to me. What did he tell you? He told me to get away from you. To leave this whole country. To leave all of my kindred. And then to even leave my father's house. Yeah, well, Abram, tell me one thing. Where did he tell you to go? I don't know. All I know is he told me to go. Now, how many of you can tell your family, folk, your friends, everybody else, that God told you to go, and they ask you where, and you say you don't know, and they don't think something is wrong? Yeah, something's wrong with that picture, eh? Y'all look at him, watch him close, watch him close. He must not be on his medicine. Something's wrong. Y'all need to stay off that stuff. Y'all thinking crazy. Why would God tell you go and not tell you where you're going? Because God wanted to lead him. And he wanted his walk to be by faith and not by sight. Every day, God wanted to have him, when he wakes up, to communicate with him, to commune with him, and tell him how far to go in this day. When to start, when to stop. Turn left, turn right. Go up, go down, wait. And all of these things Abraham did daily. And so I need to tell you, his course was set by God. Your course is set by God. But there are some things that I need to tell you about your course, because just as you read the story of Abraham, so will you read the story of your own life about your own course. First of all, in every course, there are challenges. Tell somebody there are some challenges on your course. Some of y'all can say amen already, because you've met some challenges already on your course. Right now you're looking and said, if I wouldn't have had this challenge in my life, I would have been a much further place than I am right now. But certain challenges kept me at bay, made me stay too long dealing with this challenge. But I got news for you. When God made the course, he knew the challenges that would be on the course. And he still stamped success on your course. Not only are there challenges on your course, but there are changes on your course. Don't think that you're going to start and end up without having to make some detours, without having to go around some things, above some things, under something. Don't think that the roadmap won't change because there's construction going on. And I know sometimes it might seem like destruction, but many times the noise you hear is construction. And so there are some changes. Sometimes God alters your course to take some time off your journey, to give you a better route, a more direct route. Sometimes he takes you off of that scenic route and puts you on the expressway. There will be changes on your course. And lastly, but not least, there will be some choices that you'll have to make on your course that will mean you will make it or you won't make it. You might have started out in Jesus, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going through. Because through the challenges and the changes that come your way, you will have to make choices. And only if those choices are the choices that please God will you make it through. When we look back on our own lives, think back to some of the choices we've made. Oh, how many of us, like the songwriter have said, if I could turn back the hands of time.
Some of y'all sitting there looking holier than thou. Yeah.